From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain. Brian Mackey is away today. As the new year approaches, things are starting to seem like a repeat of another year we'd all hoped was past us, 2020. Cases are surging again, and major league sporting events and concerts are being canceled or postponed, and some schools on the East Coast are once again going virtual. Here in Illinois, last week, we saw the highest rise in reported COVID-19 cases so far this year. While the cancellations and the rising case counts are starting to become sadly familiar to us, what's unfamiliar is the Omicron variant. It's spreading now across the U.S. and has been detected in 45 states, and that's including Illinois. To help us understand more about Omicron and what the pandemic could look like as we approach the holidays, we're joined by Joe Marr. He's the investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune and has been reporting on the variant here. He's also been talking with healthcare workers about their concerns amid surging COVID-19 cases. Joe, welcome to the 21st, and thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'd also like to welcome Michaeline Duclef, who is a correspondent for NPR's Science Desk. She's been doing a lot of great reporting on Omicron and speaking with scientists. Michaeline, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
And if you have questions for our guests out there or questions about the Omicron variant, join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Michaeline, we'll start with you. I'm sure folks out there are very anxious to hear this, but give us a picture of where we are now with Omicron in this moment, a snapshot.
You know, a lot has been learned in the last even week or so about Omicron. This is a very fast moving version of SARS-CoV-2. So for instance, the Delta variant doubled in the US every 10 to 14 days. Omicron doubles every 2 to 3 days. It is very fast. And what we are going to see, in the next week, that it will probably become the dominant strain across the whole country. We also understand that it is very, what scientists call, immune evasive. So it is very good at getting around antibodies that we make, when we get the vaccine or we make when we've had the virus before. And so we're going to see a lot of breakthrough infections with this variant. The good news is it looks like the vaccines do provide really good protection against severe disease, especially if you get that booster shot. So although we're going to see lots of breakthrough infections, the people that are vaccinated are going to be protected against hospitalization and severe disease.
And that was what I was going to ask you. If the Omicron breakthroughs or the Omicron cases, are they more severe than Delta or any of the others that we've seen?
So this is the question that's really still kind of hanging there. If you look in South Africa, they're seeing massive cases, this huge surge. And the hospitalizations and severe disease are not what they were with the Delta variant, which points to saying, oh, this is a less severe form of SARS-CoV-2. The problem there is the vast majority of people in South Africa have had a bout of COVID and or have had a vaccine. And so there's a very high amount of immunity in that population. And the people that are ending up in the hospital in South Africa are the unvaccinated. So there are still hospitalizations. It's just at a lower rate. So I think what that's telling us is that when you've had COVID and have been vaccinated, or you've had 2-3 doses of the vaccine, Omicron might be less severe. It might be quicker and not a big of a problem. But for unvaccinated people, I think we're still going to see a lot of hospitalizations and a lot of severe disease.
Okay. And Joe, before we get to you, I want to ask one more question. Do we know, Michaeline, if or why the Omicron variant is more transmissible? Is there any research out there that points to an answer for that one?
That's a great question. So first of all, it's, like I said, immune evasive. So it can spread to a lot more people, the people that have been already had it or had 2 doses of vaccine. It looks like some preliminary data suggests that it replicates or multiplies in the upper respiratory or in the respiratory tract much faster than Delta. So 70 times faster. And so that could create higher viral particles in the respiratory tract. But otherwise, we don't know yet. It is, like I say, everybody, all these scientists that I talk to, they just keep saying over and over again, we've never seen anything like this, just how fast it spreads. So for instance, in the UK, they did a study in households, and it's 3 times the level, the spread in a household than Delta. So if you bring it into your home, you're three times more likely to spread it to a family member.
That is incredible. That's incredible. So Joe, we're going to pivot to you. You know, in light of what we just talked about, let's talk about the surge in cases that we're seeing in the state. What are you finding on your investigative journey?
Yeah, well, sadly, cases are going up, right? And this is not necessarily Omicron right now. It is Delta. We are in the thick of the nastiest Delta surge that we've had. When you look at pure cases, you know, it's not as bad as the fall surge yet. But I think the challenge that we've got is that our hospital system is a different hospital system now than it was last fall. And so this surge, even currently fueled by Delta, but, you know, as Michaeline said, most likely it's going to be Omicron soon. You know, it's hitting our system even harder.
And when did we first start seeing those cases of Omicron in the state, Joe?
I want to say a week or two ago. Just it was a few days after it came into, was detected in America. We started to see them in Illinois. And unfortunately, our detection system in this country is not as robust as some other places. So we don't know the extent that it's in Illinois right now. But we know it's not nearly as much as Delta right now. But, you know, as Michaeline said, it's rising pretty fastly.
So still battling Delta. Now we've got Omicron on the scene. What would you say, Joe, in your chats with healthcare professionals? What is their biggest concern right now dealing with both of those variants?
It's space. I mean, it's right now. It has been, I think, the concern of the pandemic ever since it began was that the hospital system would get overwhelmed. We saw that in New York City. We saw that in Italy. So the big concern of any pandemic is that there's just too many people trying to get treatment at one time, and there's just not enough people and not enough healthcare workers to dole that out. We were able to survive that in the first wave in April 2020. We were able to survive it last year. But they're looking at it now and they're saying, you know, we're hoping we can make it through, you know, this winter. But the numbers are tighter now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Michaeline, there's been some discussion about now the definition of what it means to be fully vaccinated. And things seem to be kind of changing with that. So are we saying that, you know, your booster... Does the booster mean fully vaccinated? Do the two doses? What are we moving toward as far as a standard or something that we can all identify with?
That's a great question. I think that eventually they will probably move to a three doses being fully vaccinated. And that's just because you look at the two doses. So against Delta, two doses of Pfizer, Moderna, you know, we're 60, 70% effective against infection. Okay, so pretty good. And we still saw we still see breakthrough cases. So with Omicron, two doses of that mRNA vaccine is going to be about 30% effective against an infection. So really not much left. Now, those two doses are not nothing at all, for sure. They are still 70% protective against severe disease. So the thing is your body, because it's not starting from scratch, it's had this vaccine, it's built this incredible defense system that can not only prevent the infection a little bit, but once it's there, can clear it out really quickly so you don't end up in the hospital. So eventually, I think we will move to three doses. But at this point, even just getting those two doses in your body is going to really, really help protect you against, you know, ending up in the hospital where you might not have a bed, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Great information. And if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain in for Brian Mackey today. And of course, we are discussing the Omicron variant now with Michaeline and Joe. And we're learning more about the surge in coronavirus cases and how it could affect our healthcare systems in Illinois and just sort of what Omicron looks like and how it's moving through our state. If you have any questions about the variant or you're wanting to get in on this conversation, give us a call, 800-222-9455. Again, that's 800-222-9455. And Michaeline, you just touched a little bit on vaccines. You know, we're learning every day that these vaccines are doing pretty well against Delta. But what do we know about Omicron? Is there anything so far coming out about the effectiveness?
Yeah, for sure. So there's been in the last week enormous amount of data. It's incredible how fast scientists all over the world, including the scientists in South Africa that detected this variant have just figured it out super fast. And so a bunch of scientists have looked at how well the antibodies that our body makes when we get the vaccine. So when you get the vaccine, your body makes things called antibodies, which actually prevent the virus from infecting your body. They stick to the virus and push it out. Okay, so they're like our first line defense. And so they've been looking to see how well these antibodies can kill or neutralize Omicron. And inside of a Petri dish, their ability to neutralize Omicron takes a nosedive. It just drops off dramatically. And what we're seeing is that means that the two doses of the vaccine are not going to be effective at stopping an infection because of those antibodies not working as well. But the vaccine also creates things called T cells and B cells, which kick into action after you get an infection. And so if your body can't stop Omicron, it can start to clear out the infection. You know, you'll start sneezing, you'll cough, you'll have a headache maybe, and your body, the B cells and the T cells will kick into action and clear it out. And those, especially the T cells, aren't as affected by Omicron as the antibodies. So they're staying stronger against this variant. They're more resistant to the mutations. And so that's what's really going to protect you if you do get a breakthrough infection. And data suggests that that's why we have about 70% protection against severe disease, even with just two shots. And if you get that third booster, it's going to boost your antibodies and it's going to boost your B cells and your T cells. You're just going to be much, much more capable of fighting off an infection and stopping it if it does happen.
All right. Awesome. Joe Marr with the Chicago Tribune, we're going to go back to you. We did talk about space concerns in hospitals and how you may not have a bed if you end up going through with a case. But do you know if we're seeing more breakthrough cases in the vaccinated population, or are these cases where folks have not been vaccinated and then are seeking care?
What we're seeing right now, the vast, vast majority, and this has remained the case even with Omicron coming in, is that the vast, vast majority are unvaccinated. This is a real challenge. They're also younger from some of the people I talk with. So what happens is a younger patient, I mean, the good news is a younger patient has a greater ability to fight off an infection typically than an older patient. But the challenge is when they get sick enough and they're in the ICUs, they're staying there much longer. So that takes up a bed. And on top of that, you have a whole slew of patients there for every other reason other than COVID. You know, they couldn't get care initially. Their conditions may have worsened. So they're there taking up beds. And then you have less staff because people are burning out. So it's much tighter right now.
Compounding issue. That was going to be my next question, going into sort of the vibe of healthcare workers. Are we seeing burnout? Are we seeing reinfection? The numbers there, either from burnout or reinfection, I'm sure that has a lot of people nervous as well as just staffing the hospitals and clinics.
Yeah, it can be difficult to tell for sure how much is reinfection in that type of thing. The state doesn't give that type of granular detail. But we can tell from staffed beds, right? These are the beds that hospitals say that they can staff within 4 hours. And that number has gone down. It's gone down significantly from last fall. And you've got a point now where with this confluence of things, we used to be able to have 10,000 open beds in Illinois. Now we're down to 6,000, you know, in less than a year. And 6,000 may sound like a lot, but we've got, we've got almost 13 million people in Illinois.
Do you know which parts of the state are experiencing these problems more? Where is it a higher concentration of population where we're seeing scarce resources? Who is having the most trouble in the state?
From what we can tell, it is pretty much all over the state. And that's what's unique about this surge versus other surges. The last surge was mostly in the region outside of Chicago, particularly in the southern region, the southern tip of Illinois. When you look at cases itself right now, it's what the state calls the North region, which is the area around Rockford, west of the greater Chicago area that has the highest cases. But when you look overall at capacity issues, it seems to be everywhere. And the challenge too in Illinois is that, not every hospital is the same, right? So our healthcare system was unequal before the pandemic hit. So you have some hospitals that say they're full right now. we've got a hospital in Chicago that has had what are called boarders. These are people who are coming to the ER and they need a room and they can't get it because there's no room available. So they'll stay in the ER. They'll stay in those little rooms in the ER. We've had one hospital tell us that one person's been there for a week waiting for a room. So it seems to be all over the state. Different hospitals have different problem levels, but it's statewide.
Okay, we've got about a minute before the break. Michaeline, I wanted to ask you, are you noticing people with COVID fatigue? And I mean specifically with regard to mask wearing. I've been seeing a lot of that lately, and I'd love to see anecdotally what you're seeing.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. One of my friends, you know, she was talking to me Saturday night and she was just like, but Michaeline, I'm just tired. I'm just done. I don't want to wear masks. I don't want to go back to virtual school. And you know, I think we're not starting from scratch. You know, the healthcare system is a different issue, but you know, people that are vaccinated, people that are taking some precautions, you know, maybe wear a surgical mask instead of a regular mask when you go to the grocery store. You know, you just need to take kind of the minimal mm-hmm. precautions if you're vaccinated. Your body is ready to fight this thing. I think we also have to just think about our older, more vulnerable population.
Yes.
For me personally.
Sorry to interrupt you, Michaeline, but we have to take a quick break and we're back after this. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st, and I'm Tanisha Spain, in for Brian Mackey. We're discussing the Omicron variant now with Michaeline Duclough, and she is a correspondent for NPR's Science Desk. We're also learning more with how the surge in coronavirus cases could affect the healthcare system here in Illinois, and what Omicron looks like right now in the state. And Joe Maher is joining us from the Chicago Tribune to discuss that. So to pick up where we left off, we were talking about just people being burned out with being in the middle of COVID. And Joe, we'll start with you. Are you experiencing or know folks who are experiencing burnout with playing by the rules and trying to follow the guidelines?
Oh, very much so. I mean, I don't know of anybody that you can talk to that isn't experiencing that to a certain extent. And I think the real frustration now is, you know, there are people who said, listen, I've played by the rules. I've gotten the shots when they told me to. I wear my mask when I'm supposed to. And we're 2 years into this thing. And here we are again. I'm worried about, am I going to get a bed if I have a heart attack or a stroke or a this or a that? And I think that's the extra frustration that we're seeing now.
And Michaeline, what have you heard from the medical community about going home? Because this is about to be a huge travel week. We've seen so much marketing in the way of going home safely and getting vaccinated and going home and wearing a mask. And it seems like everyone wants to do that and wants to get back to some sort of normalcy, but it's just a really weird time. So what are we hearing there about the safety of going home and traveling?
Yeah, you know, I think you have to think about it in terms of the number of people you're interacting with. So if you're vaccinated and you go home, you might want to, if somebody is vulnerable in the family, you might want to take a test if you can, a rapid test beforehand, just to check to make sure, you know, you're not infected because of high breakthrough infections. But then, you know, I would really reconsider going to that big giant indoor party, right? I think your risk of this really just grows as the number of people around you grows. So I'm not going into any big parties this year, but I'm at home with my mom and, you know, we're just going to make it small, make it private and just be mindful of being around a lot of people at once.
And what do we know about these rapid tests that we can get at the corner drugstore? Any guidance there? Are they effective? What do we know about those?
You know, they're really great. They're not as, you know, as specific as the PCR test. That's going to be your, you know, that's the gold standard, but they're really great for checking just to make sure, hey, am I infected and I don't know about it when I go visit, you know, this vulnerable person. So the key to them though, is to use them as right before you visit somebody. So don't take it the night before and go the next day because, you know, you don't know, you could become positive in that time period. And if you do get a positive test, then, you know, you want to double check it with a PCR.
Okay. And Michaeline, do we know if this pandemic or, you know, speculation, Do you think this will get under control if other countries don't have the same access to the mRNA vaccines? I mean, could we be just doing this, you know, kind of spinning our wheels until everyone has access?
You know, I think that this variant arose because of the vaccine inequity around the world. I think that that is true. And I do think more are going to arise every year. It sounds horrible, but I think the good news is that the immunity in our population is going to grow, right? We're going to get more vaccinated. People are going to get infected if they don't get vaccinated. And so every time we see a new variant, we're going to have more protection. And so hopefully we're going to be kind of in the case that South Africa seems to be in right now, where they have a lot of cases, but the hospitalizations and the deaths have stayed down because there's more immunity in that population. So at this point, it really is like, get vaccinated or you're going to get it. You can't really stay away from this thing forever. It's going to be with us for a long time.
Excellent. And Joe, your thoughts on behavior, human behavior here, and as we evolve, you know, when we would hear thousands of cases a day before, it would be a collective gasp. But now it seems like people are just kind of checked out. Are you experiencing any of that on your end?
Yeah, I think that's a really good insight because we're used to this now, and for better or worse, right? We've been in this pandemic for a while. The good news is that, you know, case numbers aren't as scary as they used to be because there are a lot of breakthrough cases, you know, we're seeing that, but there are not a lot of breakthrough hospitalizations. And I think that's the difference. And that's the whole goal we've ever had here, right, is as a community, is that we're going to get sick, right? We get colds, we get flus, we get sick. We just don't want to get so sick that we're hospitalized. So I think that's the good news of this. The bad news of this is that, you know, people in some ways are giving up too. You know, they're like, well, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. And I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm just going to live my life. And I think that's a difficult way to look at it too, because of course, as we've all mentioned here, you know, you may be okay, right? But you may infect someone else. So There's a whole lot of other variables going on, and we don't want our healthcare system to collapse. So it's a whole lot to juggle.
All right. Great discussion. Joe Marr from the Chicago Tribune, thank you so much for coming. And Michaeline Duclef from NPR Science Desk, thank you so much for contributing to today's conversation.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah.